Hi, my name is Gianni Infantino. Today, I feel greedy.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Give me a gin.
Patreon. It's Monday, Q&A day, and we're recording this for the second time, so... forgive us if our answers are particularly short and frustrated because it's fucking annoying. But shit happened and we had to re-record from the beginning. So
do you know what? My audio was all right. I should have just made you repeat
everything I said, which you could have done somehow. I wouldn't have it in my headphones.
Do you know what? Should we just do that?
And I can just repeat it. You can just slice it in. Well, look, we're into it now and we'll get into your questions. Matt Liffick, is the unlimited transfers period due to the World Cup in addition or in lieu of the second wild card? Will we have another one in January? Yes. We've already answered that. Yes. People have jumped in and told Matt as well that he does have a second wild card.
Oh, that's good. So I don't have to explain it a second time.
Sam O'Sullivan, are either of you going to take any notice of the second chance league FPL have entered everyone into?
No one cares. Sam.
To be honest, I didn't even know that there was one.
I told you, it's...
What's the point of it? Is there a prize?
It's just to get people re-engaged, isn't it? I think there is a prize, top three or something. I don't know. Unprecedented new game. Fucking hilarious. It's the second half league. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Plenty of people start them anyway.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
You can start a league at any time, can't you?
Well, we've never had an unprecedented second half FPL league, though, where you're playing against the whole world.
Sam, you'll definitely hear about it. Jarvo... An early Merry Christmas to you both. Is a festive quickfire, James.
Oh, it's not quickfire now, though, because I know what's coming.
Well, favourite Christmas movie?
Die Hard.
Die Hard every time.
No, Home Alone.
Die Hard.
Home Alone.
Second is Gremlins.
Kevin.
I'll tell you what's not.
Gremlins is a brilliant shout.
I'll tell you what's not on the list. Is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Or Bad Santa.
I had to watch that at the weekend. It was shit.
Bad Santa is bad. Gremlins is a good shout, though, Sitch. I like that. Why didn't you say that the first time? Were you just storing it up?
Die Hard.
Were you storing it up for the second recording?
Die Hard. That's it. There's only one answer. Die Hard. Favorite Christmas song? I don't like Christmas music.
I said Mariah Carey the first time and I still can't fit anything any better.
I hate Christmas music. I just find it repetitive, frustrating. You've heard this song like 1,000 times.
Get it off. People in the work office who want to put Christmas songs on in mid-October, get a fucking life.
Best Christmas present?
My Tottenham mug that I got today. Another
Tottenham
one.
Mug. James in Secret Santa.
Because I haven't got enough Tottenham
high mugs. Quality mug that says Mr. Tottenham.
And it's a Mr. Men.
Number one fan.
Yay.
You can imagine that everyone will just get James Tottenham stuff.
I reckon Suj brought it for me because he's played so deadpan with it.
I would definitely not get you anything Tottenham.
Would you not?
No. It's too obvious. I'd think outside the box. Maybe get you a kebab. Best Christmas present would be trainers. I think I'm going to get trainers this year, but I'm not going to buy them before Christmas. I'm going to wait and see if they're cheaper after. Standard.
It's unlike you not to think about money.
Nah. Favourite part of Christmas?
The next day, Boxing Day.
Not having to work for a week.
Boxing Day.
Roast turkey or other for Christmas Day, James? What
turkey.
Are you having?
We're going to have turkey, aren't we?
Your mum and dad's?
Yeah, I've argued with my dad about it. Well, I say I've argued. He's traditional, isn't it?
But he's ignored you.
I've told him that he's shit and we should get something else and that 10 million turkeys get slaughtered in the UK for Christmas. And we should eat something else. Not that the other animals don't also get slaughtered. But yeah, turkey's crap.
So Dave Beaton's got a question. Dave Hunter's got a question, James. Which, when we first recorded, we agreed we would turn into a pod. Dave says, who would win a match between an all-time South American 11 and an all-time European 11? That's one hell of a question because we've got to decide who the 11s are first.
The question is, how would the front three not be Maradona, Pelé and Messi for South America?
Ronaldinho. Fat Ronaldo.
Oh my God, phenomenon Ronaldo.
Romario. Zico. Zidane.
You know what my instinct? Cruyff. We'll do this. My instinct would be that that European team would be far better defensively. But I mean, Jesus
Christ. We only need four good
Jesus
defenders.
Jesus Christ. Literally thinking about a South American team and the prospects of leaving out one of Messi, Maradona, Pele, or the phenomenon Ronaldo. How do you do that?
Play them all. Ben Moxham. Hi, guys. Not sure if you record the Patreon content as video. Well, we don't even fucking record it as audio sometimes, do we? Because we're re-recording this whole show. And then extract the MP3 to upload it. Have you ever thought about YouTube membership? Watch this space next year, Ben, I would say. I don't think we know enough about it, do we, YouTube membership? But we do need to have
I asked the question if that was different to subscription to Patreon, and then therefore why have Patreon?
It's only YouTube only, so they'd only get the video content, so they wouldn't get some of the other stuff that you get in Patreon.
I'm sure YouTube will release YouTube audio one day.
There's YouTube Music already exists.
It does.
I don't know whether they play pods on
there. YouTube Music, YouTube Kids. I mean, they are video orientated, obviously.
Darren says, what board games would you recommend playing with the family over Christmas? My kids are 3 or 4.
I said Hungry Hippos, but
it's
not a board game.
It's more just a...
And Kaplunk.
That's not bad. Jenga's always a good one.
But it's Kaplunk's not a board game either, is it?
No, Jenga's not a board game either. Jenga's a good one. We've been playing this Exploding Minions card game recently with the kids. That's pretty decent, actually.
Snakes and Ladders. I'm going to try and play Snakes and Ladders with Harry.
Risk is
week.
The best board game.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'm going to go for Cluedo. Colonel
right.
Mustard in the library with the candlestick.
Javo, just seen the sad news that Sinisa Mihajlovic has passed away, age 53, from leukemia.
Why didn't I actually Google what I said to this the first time to
what
make
are
sure
memories
it was correct?
Of him as a player, I don't have any, so I can skip that, Javo. I don't have any memories.
Oh, this is the worst bit to re-record. I said he was a big fucking racist.
You suspected that he might be a racist.
I recall this incident with Patrick Vieira, which I'm sure involved him, where he got a ban for racism. It was one of the kind of first high-profile player to play a racist incident. I'm sure that's what happened. Apologies to the poor Mihajlovic if that is incorrect, but I'm sure it is. He was a phenomenal free kick taker who I predominantly remember playing for Lazio and also Yugoslavia/Serbia. Very left footed.
Sam O'Sullivan, also prompting another podcast, James. What are your thoughts on the proposed changes to the football calendar by FIFA?
So, money in football.
I ignore FIFA. Available opportunity.
I've told you can't.
Slag them off all the time.
Money in football on Wednesday. FIFA's proposed 48-team World Cup fuck-up and FIFA's proposed Club World Cup fuck-up. And disclaimer/spoiler, they are jealous of UEFA and want a piece of the fucking pie. And that's what the plan is here. And we're gonna talk about it and what these tournaments may look like and why they're doing it and hi, my name is Gianni Infantino. Today, I feel greedy.
Oh, yes. Dan says, what's happened to Jadon Sancho? And can he turn it around at Manchester United or should he leave?
Don't know. Erik ten Hag said last week that he wasn't in the right frame of mind to be training with the first team at the moment. He had been put on an individual training program, having not made it with the England squad in any case. I don't know if it's his fitness levels are off or his mental well-being is off. I have concerns for him as a player because I think he hasn't really shown us anything for Manchester United bar the odd moment. And that's despite the fact, obviously, he was part of the team to start the season, obviously scored against Liverpool in game week 3, scored a great goal. I have a sense for him that he doesn't have this oomph, like a drive. So I watch him sometimes. I think, go, man, go. Like, off the ball, on the ball, running with it. Just don't feel like he's got... I feel like it needs a kick up the arse. But it might be that he's just not in the right frame of mind, and that would potentially explain a lot of things. Who knows? I said to you earlier, on reflection, he was phenomenal with Haaland at Dortmund. And was that a lot to do with the fact he just found space a lot easier at Dortmund and what he's finding now. I don't know the answer. Didn't watch enough of them.
He doesn't play enough football.
But the idea that he was a bad player at Dortmund is definitely incorrect because he was a very good player. Is he going to prove to be value for money for what Manchester United bought him for? I would unfortunately have very serious doubts about that at the moment. If you'd have said last summer, after the Euros, and United went and spent, what, 85, 90 million on him, that he'd be nowhere near the England squad this summer, none of us would have said that.
Agreed. Dan also says, James, you can have one of these guaranteed as a Christmas present. Top four finish or win the FA Cup? I'll take the FA Cup because there's every chance you can win, get into the top four as well if you keep performing reasonably well.
It's one or the other, isn't it?
No, one's guaranteed. All he says is you can have one as a guaranteed. Doesn't mean you won't get the other.
Oh, right.
Take the FA Cup.
True.
Take
yes,
the trophy.
I would take the FA Cup. I always remember Pochettino's words about not putting too much emphasis on domestic trophies because it will not change the future of your football club. Certainly helps with a memory, though.
Yeah, you want a glory day.
I would like the glory day, but the caveat to that is the best thing for Tottenham Hotspur this season would be to finish in the top four. Is more important than winning the trophy.
Yeah. Sam O'Sullivan, does England winning the Fair Play trophy? We didn't trot out onto the little stage for
football's
that, though.
Football's coming home. Could you imagine? Imagine just stood there between Harry Kane goes in between and Mbappe and it, Kane goes
kit.
And gets it. Yeah, full kit wanker goes up and gets his Fair Play award. Football's coming home. I think we won it once before as well, lads. Just going to say, I want to say maybe Euro 2012, maybe. So I think it's come home before. And no, we can't really celebrate.
Andrew Grandin, should I allow World Cup euphoria to result in the addition of Damian Martinez, Emi Martinez, obviously, and Alexis McAllister to my FPL team?
No, because they ain't going to fucking play for their teams next week. They might not even play for their teams the week after.
Yeah, I think just that's a very straightforward no. A few quick-fire questions, James, that are World Cup-related have come in from Amrabat Man Joe, and we should probably answer these quite quickly because we already know who we're going to pick. Player of the tournament.
Messi, though it feels ridiculous that a man scored a hat-trick in a World Cup final and didn't win it.
8 goals. What's the most in a World Cup final?
The only one who's got to 8 this century is Ronaldo in 2002, the original, the phenomenon, obviously. Just Fontaine got 13 for France.
In one World Cup? Yeah. That's mad.
Football was a different game back then. I mean, he's on, what, 12 goals? 12 goals already,
yeah,
Mbappe?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fucking mad. He's probably got 3 more World Cups than him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Messi because of the story. Also, I think, in all honesty, Mbappe was average against England but had a decisive moment in terms of park creation for the first goal. It was average against Morocco, but both goals centred around him drawing people towards him and getting a shot away. And for 70 minutes yesterday, he was bang average. And yet, by full-time, had very nearly scored the greatest hat-trick or the most famous hat-trick ever, which you could argue he had done, but if he'd scored the hat-trick to win it in normal time and they'd won 3-2, my God.
That would have been mad.
So he's a man of moments. The run he had right at the end of extra time, the last kick, and he beat Romero and he come back inside, he was like, he's going to get the shot away here.
Yeah.
The panic he's causing. He's definitely the best at the moment. I don't think anybody was questioning that pre-tournament. Can't question that now. He has the thing with him is he really could be quiet for 80 minutes and destroy you, as we've seen yesterday.
Right, young player of the tournament.
My reaction when Enzo Fernandez was awarded it yesterday, straight away, involuntarily out of my mouth, was well deserved. Didn't start the tournament, grew into it, played a few different positions for Argentina, showed me he could play as a sitting player. And a more offensive midfield player. They had a period yesterday where really struggling. He won a couple of really big kind of back-to-back tackles within a couple of minutes and not only won them but took Argentina out to play and put them back on the front foot. I thought it was really, really good. We spoke last week about it being more difficult to find players who kind of come from nowhere and do really well. Like Kolo Muani is a player most of us would have been unfamiliar with a couple of weeks ago. He's obviously made an impact for France. I think Fernandes is certainly the one for the team that's gone and won the trophy. I did reflect on it afterwards and think of Josko Gvardiol, who's obviously had an outstanding tournament for Croatia. Probably best centre-back in the tournament for me. 20 years of age.
I didn't realise he was that young.
Yeah, but I think Enzo Fernandes is the right call.
Manager of the tournament. I went with the Moroccan fella. So he only just took over the squad.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it has to be for that achievement.
The defensive structure and setup, really good.
Very, very good. I think Deschamps and Scaloni, former West Ham legend, Scaloni.
Yes, Lionel Scaloni. Suj
remembers playing for West Ham, I think.
Of course, we won another World Cup as well, just to add to that. West Ham always winning World Cups.
That's amazing, mate. Christian Romero plays for Tottenham. Might speak about him in a bit because I already did half hour ago, but I feel like I'm about
coming.
To again.
Questions coming.
Yeah. Both barrels coming. Deschamps and Scaloni have both been criticised for some of the stuff yesterday, but I think both showed some strong tactical stuff. Scaloni certainly showed his ability to be adaptable. They started with a 4-3-3, then moved from it. They played a back three against the Netherlands, moved to more of a flat 4-4-2 against Croatia, changed back to the 4-3-3 yesterday. And when I'd spoke on Friday's stream and said, I'll tell you what, I think Di Maria might come back in and play right wing. So saw the team went, oh, I'm a clever dick. Nope, he's moved Di Maria to the left-hand side. Really good. And Deschamps, I think, has to take huge credit for the adaptability, particularly of Antoine Griezmann in this tournament, in the fact that he kind of mastered that when they had a big creativity and link issue between midfield and forward. And Griezmann, who was poor in the final yesterday, managed to bridge that throughout the tournament prior to yesterday's game. And I think Deschamps has to take a lot of credit for that. But I think, yeah, I've forgotten his name already. Reguilón, what's his name, the Moroccan manager?
I don't know,
too much. Oh, Serge, you're a pain in the bum. I've forgotten it. But yeah, him, he's going to get a La Liga job, I'm fairly sure, because they're not a million miles away, are they? No. I could see that more than, say, a Premier League job, for example.
Team of the tournament? Morocco as well.
I mean, with things like this, it's always very difficult. Reg Ragui, I was close. It's always difficult not to name the team that won it, but I think Morocco, yeah, I'd go with that team of the tournament. If we're talking pound for pound, Morocco.
Darren also a close. Do you think Emi Martinez's motto is, James, you ready for it? No glove, no love.
It's funny the first time you said it.
It's true, but he's still just thinking about the moment makes me think.
I might cut in the moment where I laughed half hour ago.
No glove, no love.
you're not happy about that yesterday, are you?
No, it was just bizarre. So bizarre.
So
John
funny.
Jakobsen, is there anyone apart from Haaland you've had since game week one in FPL?
Yeah.
That you think you will still have in game week 38 without ever leaving your side?
Yeah.
So I've got four and you've got five that are ever present. So I've got Haaland, Cancelo, Martinelli, Danny Ward. You've got same four plus Pereira. Pereira's back in for me, even though he left temporarily.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't say with certainty I'll have him till the end because I might be wildcarding for like double game week 34 or something. And then you're looking at different things, maybe with a bench boost. But yeah, I wouldn't see them players leaving as it stands.
Jarvo wants you to do a World Cup special with Amrabat Manjo, if you don't mind.
Would love to do a pod with Joe. I was hoping to do a pod with Joe last week, actually. And we did exchange messages the day after Morocco beat Portugal in the quarterfinal. Joe hadn't been feeling too well. So we put it on ice, shall we say. But yes, I'm sure Joe will be listening. Yes, we would like to do something soon with Joe, not just obviously about Morocco, but also obviously was out there, so you know, get an understanding of what his experiences were in Qatar. It sounds like Joe's experience was pretty good, in fairness. So,
yeah, right. Auto close, Darren James. Do you reckon Romero's time at Spurs is limited? He hasn't specified if he means like, you know, game time or career length span.
Game time is certainly not limited in terms of is he first choice? Yes. If a Madrid or a PSG, if that's how it's laced, a Man City was to come and buy him, would he go? Yeah, sure. I'm not convinced that Antonio Conte would particularly stand in his way either. I think he's very important to Tottenham. I mean, he's clearly Tottenham's best centre-back. I think hopefully most of you will have seen what he's capable of yesterday. He had one moment where Mbappe tried to take him down the line and he just shepherded him out and turned away with the ball. Brilliant against a player of that calibre and quality. So I know what Christian's capable of. He suffers with the same weaknesses that Otamendi has, which isn't letting the ball bounce, but his aggressiveness, which is both a strength and a weakness. But he has to... They're unusual in the sense they have to go and press the centre-backs. They can't just sit off and let him turn in there. They have to go and be aggressive. It's in their nature. And Romero is largely very good at it, but if it gets popped around corners, it can be problematic. I'm not happy with him. I'm happy for him that he won the World Cup. I'm not happy with him here, and this has been going on, I think, even back to be honest, since we had him. Think back to last year where, do you remember when he went away?
He plays when he wants, you mean?
Where he went away with Argentina and they had to go and fucking train in Croatia for a week, didn't they? Because of some fucking COVID stuff. And just feels like he's missed a lot of games for Tottenham because of Argentina. And I think there was a suspicion, which I'd spoke about going into the tournament, that he didn't play the last few games for Tottenham because he wanted to make sure he was fit for Argentina. In fairness, he then had a poor game against Saudi Arabia and didn't look fit and missed the Mexico game. So I don't doubt that there was some sort of injury issue. Should his priority be Argentina rather than Tottenham Hotspur? Yeah, I get that. But I think, and we spoke about this last week, I think most players' priority would probably lie with their national team rather than their club.
Close to a World Cup for sure. I get Nations League.
I get that, but it's not stopped many other... Richarlison, it would be a different example, right? Richarlison had an injury and was desperate to try and get back on the pitch for Tottenham before the World Cup came round, right? So, mentality issue, how much do you actually really care and stuff? So Richarlison was going with the same thing. It was potentially ruled out and busted a gut to try and get back for Tottenham, admittedly to help for the World Cup as well, don't get me wrong. If he'd have missed the Tottenham games, Brazil still would have called him up. It wasn't in doubt, right? So he made the effort. I had some suspicions about Christian Romero, and I have some suspicions now that Argentina have won the tournament. I'll give you an example. Manchester United go to Wolves on New Year's Eve. Very confident that Lisandro Martinez will play that game. I expect Christian Romero to play for Tottenham against Aston Villa the next day. And if he doesn't, some serious questions need to be asked. And as good as he may be, I can't be having that in my football club because that's a weakness. And if that's how it's going to be, despite his ability, I'd rather get shot of him. Because if it's not now, it will be in the future where he goes and does something else that's more important.
Darren says, Serge, talk me into buying Benrahma.
You can't.
I can't, really. the price is decent, but... you just don't know if he's going to play game to game. And at that price, you've got Almiron as the alternative. It just doesn't make sense to go to Benrahma. Now, there might be a period where he gets a solid run in the team. And he has been good this season. He's getting better. He scored in the friendlies, the one against Cambridge anyway, a couple of weeks back. So he's still been trim, still shooting from outside the box. But I just don't know if it's worth the risk at all. It's a good punt, but it is very much a punt.
It's a punt that we don't even know is going to play.
Yeah,
it's a reality. I think if Almiron wasn't in the game, or it was more to get up to Rashford's and stuff, or you didn't have even... I mean, to be honest, I'm not convinced. We spoke earlier about comparing him to Almiron, but I'm not sure I'd pick him over Bailey. Or some of you, if he's fit, and just save the fucking money, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, he does come off the bench when he's benched quite regularly. He can do damage in the end, final 10, 15 minutes of a game.
I think he's potentially interesting for those four fixtures between 18 and 21. But it won't be for me. Unless the only way I can see that happening for me is if he impresses against Arsenal and Rashford's picked up an injury or something, or Almiron, and I think, well, okay, I'm going to have a look at him for a short period. But start with, no, I don't think it's necessary. By the way, just on that, and I'll probably speak about this more Friday, I can feel the growing within the FPL Twitter community of, oh, this template is boring, yada, yada, yada. It is. That's absolute reality at the moment. It's also okay to go with it.
Yep.
We've learned that from Sky, that it's A, it's safer to go with it. B, it's okay to go with it. And there's a long way to go, and you will get things start to change with these amount of doubles. The only problem with the doubles is, and there will be more doubles on top of what we got announced, I think, is it just means... Remember we had that period last year where it just felt like, not last year, the year before, or it might have even been last, in fact, I think it probably was last year with the postponements around Christmas and stuff. It just felt like every week we were just buying a player at a double.
Yeah.
So it felt like it was constantly buying towards the same teams and just moving with it. But that's also okay. If you move from the template and then you're chasing that, you're potentially behind. What you want is the next template, essentially. And I don't know what that is at the moment to say to you, yeah, Ben Rama's better than Almiron.
Yep. John Jacobson, is it worth, this is a Sky question, James. Sky Fantasy Football. Boxing Day, captaincy, is it worth taking on Liverpool and Salah? Liverpool Villa, right?
Yeah, I think you can. Saliba is probably going to be perhaps the only Arsenal player I have, even though I don't think he's going to start, so he's definitely not captainable. Which probably leaves Kane versus Salah. I'm not confident about, despite what I've said about Romero, I'm not confident about Tottenham going to Brentford without him. And the threat of Ivan Toney, assuming he is available. So, I mean, I generally, if you had to push me on it now, I'd say I think Brentford will beat us next week. No Bentancur either, it's a big one. So I think with that in mind, it would be Salah for me. But I wouldn't actually be surprised if they both blank and do fuck all.
I'm going to go with Salah. I think so, yes. John says, pick two of the following three to start the next game week, James. Almiron, Rashford, and Martinelli. He says bought at 6.7 million. I don't know if he then is implying to have in his squad.
I'm presuming this is to sub, as in leave one on the bench. So you're not leaving Martinelli with an Arsenal home fixture against anybody at the moment on the bench, as far as I'm concerned. Even if they were playing Liverpool this week, you wouldn't. So you're not benching it against West Ham. Who will play right back for you, Serge? Johnson?
Sofal, Kehrer, Johnson. I don't know.
Yeah,
could be exactly. Any of them, right?
And you're not
could be any of them.
If you're getting Rashford, you're not.
Kehrer was getting favouritism before the break, but then he was being a
is
bit.
Is something
shit.
Wrong with Zuma? Chris mentioned this on the pod on Friday.
I haven't seen anything wrong with him.
Okay. If you're getting Rashford, you're not going to bench him out in the Forest. That's obvious. So by default, it's Almiron at Leicester.
Right. We have a question coming in, James, from JC. What player were you a fan of before they signed for your club?
I gave such a good answer to this the first
time.
When
they did sign, they didn't live up to any of the hype or expectation. For example, as a Liverpool fan, I'd say Joe Cole, Robbie Keane, and maybe even Fernando Morientes.
Sergei Rebrov, I was over the moon with when we got him in 2000 from Dynamo Kiev. Him and Shevchenko were phenomenal. We knew we weren't getting the best one, but we knew we were getting a good one, and he just wasn't. He had technical glimpses where you could tell there was a player in there, but certainly never lived up to expectation. I don't think playing for George Graham helps him, but then quite often, like, Hoddle used to prefer, like, Iverson over him and stuff, and fucking Iverson was terrible. Rebrov, he just never lived up to it, unfortunately. Never did anything after he left Tottenham. Less and more recent one would be Soldado, who I didn't have high hopes for in terms of like the excitedness of the player, but we had a goal scoring issue at the time and I was pretty confident he was going to solve it and he didn't.
Quite often we've bought players from overseas and it's like who you thought were going to be good and then they didn't end up being good. Why are these players that I've never heard of? Like Felipe Anderson, for example, I hadn't really watched him before he came to play for us. Haller, I hadn't watched him before he came to play for us. Mascherano and Tevez, I hadn't watched them before they come to play for us. So you're not really a fan of before they join your club. And then become shit. But yeah, it's a bit of a tricky one, that one. Right. Addy says, was this the most dramatic World Cup? It's quite a few late turnarounds, wasn't there? Argentina versus the Netherlands.
How do we...
Croatia beating Brazil, this World Cup final, extra time and all that.
I think for mad moments, if I can call it that, because I still stand by my point, I watched a lot of crap football in the first week. I think for mad moments, yeah, it's right up there. You know, the Japan goal, was it over the line, that kind of thing. When Germany went behind to Costa Rica, Saudi Arabia beating Argentina, Morocco's run, even stuff that obviously happened in the final, the Dutch equaliser against Argentina, Croatia's equaliser, Kane's missed penalty. It's from a drama perspective in terms of moments, yeah, it's up there. How do we feel about this tournament now it's finished?
There were some really good games in it.
No, but I mean, how do we feel about that? Do we refer back to it as Qatar, or do we? Because I've referred to it as Messi's World Cup or 2022.
Yeah, possibly. We'll answer that in a second, James. Lauren says, we have been discussing Messi as the greatest ever for years in football. Haven't really seen him compared to those considered as GOATs in other sports like Michael Jordan or Tom Brady or Muhammad Ali, to name a few. Where would you rank his achievements in sport overall?
Wow. We are definitely at the point now.
Okay.
We are definitely... He's done okay. We're definitely at the point where we're not repeating ourselves now. I mean, I find it impossible to...
Left. One off of this.
Oh, great. We really did nearly do the whole pod. Yeah, it's impossible to compare a Messi to someone I didn't see live, like a Muhammad Ali. I mean, different sport as well. I think you'd have to say what Muhammad Ali's impact on... stuff outside of boxing as well, I think probably makes him the greatest sportsman, I think, probably. I'm trying to think more modern era, like how does he stand up against, say, a Tiger Woods, for example? I don't know what the answer to that is. Probably not. I don't know. But I don't follow enough sports and enough to...
I think he does, but team sports versus individual sports is always a difficult comparison.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like Roger Federer and Tiger Woods versus Messi, where he plays in the team. It's very different.
That's true. But so Jordan, how does that relate?
There's five players, and he dragged that team so many times. It's a game where an individual can influence it much more than in football, for example. Messi dragged his team through so many times as well.
I wouldn't know enough about basketball to know how much he dragged them, Michael Jordan. Because weren't the Bulls like the fucking super team, kind of like the Barcelona team?
Yeah, yeah. Jordan was like different, crazy.
Oh, I get that. Tough.
Last question of the show, James, is John. How well do you think the sport washing worked with this World Cup? Which is why I'm saying we were going to answer that question about.
Go on, I'm going to let you do that.
It hasn't for me. There's been continuous questions asked around everything. So I don't think we suddenly all think Qatar, yeah, let's go to Qatar and it's all good. So I don't think sports washing has worked.
Maybe not against me and you, but does it open up the prospect to think, oh, there's more chance of Saudi Arabia having it in 8 years or...
Yeah, but that chance was there because it's all about money. I don't think it's made it more likely.
I think one of my huge problems with this was and I spoke about this pre-tournament, was that if it had gone to Saudi Arabia, not saying it's right, but at least there was a football link with the country in the sense they are regular qualifiers. You know, they got to the last 16 in USA 94. So they have football pedigree as one of the best Asian nations. I know Qatar very recently, somehow, no one can understand, won the Asian Cup, but this was long after they won the bid. You gave the tournament to a team that was a nation that was tiny and had never qualified for a World Cup and showed no signs of getting to a World Cup. I spoke and said the only thing they were famous for was for being in the first ever FIFA international game. As in EA Sports, it's in the game. and that has still annoyed me. And I think there's every chance. I mean, let's see, what's the legacy for Qatar? I guess, will we see change? Do any of us really think that the issues in that country will now change? It's no. Like the door's opened, and we've had this, and we're not saying the rest of the world's perfect, but the door's opened, and we kind of knew this. Similar happened with Russia 4 years ago. The doors will open, and you'll see everything's fucking cushy for a month. I didn't even think we saw that. Going into Russia, I had so many concerns about racism.
Yep.
So many concerns. And actually, it was fine. Yeah. It was a great tournament. And now, look at that nation. And I just think some of the things we've heard over the last month suggest to me that once the doors are closed and everyone's left, the things that people dislike about Qatar will go on in Qatar. Like, there's still mystery that I think we could investigate further about the women's team. And their rights to not just play, but obviously for women off the pitch and stuff, which admittedly, you know, we spoke about it in Iran and stuff, which is a big thing at the moment. I just think it just goes on. I don't think anything changes. Will anything change for them culturally in terms of their sport? I don't know. Most of the people who live there sound like they're not Qatari. So are they ever going to be a force in world football? No.
Yeah. For me, it's as much an issue with FIFA as it is with Qatar. Like, people are like, you're not supporting the World Cup. I'm like, I'm not supporting FIFA. Like, the football's fine and there's some teams that are all right, but they're just corrupt and everything to do
How
with
would
it
you
corrupt.
Feel if England hosted it now? Would England hosting it, say we have it in, we're not going to.
Change my
but let's say we did have it in 2003. We're going to have the Euros, so we're not. But let's say we did host it in 2003. Would you feel differently about the prospect of England hosting it now to what you felt a year or two ago?
Nah. Yeah, a year or two ago, yeah. After having seen everything I've learned in the last month, I wouldn't change if it was in a couple of years. I just think it's all a bit corrupt.
But what's bothered you more? Is it, like, from the Netflix stuff, or is it about Qatar?
Oh, no. FIFA more than Qatar. If my issue is with FIFA, not with Qatar. I have an issue with Qatar, but then that was no different pre-World Cup. That was no different for the last 60, 70 years. It's just that the spotlight shined on it. But FIFA is being uncovered year by year to be more and more dodgy and corrupt, you know. So I've got a bigger issue with FIFA than I have with Qatar. The issue I have with Qatar is the awarding of the trophy of the tournament to Qatar as opposed to the other stuff, which is not right, but that was there before, you know. So
what do we do? Stop supporting England?
No. But I'm just at arm's length, really. I don't let it affect my mood or care about it.
What do you think? Is there any more questions?
Nah.
No, I'll end with this one then. More for debate on Wednesday. What do you think of the prospect of UEFA leaving FIFA?
Wouldn't surprise me if there's enough dodginess in UEFA as well.
No, I get that. No, UEFA, so, not Saints, don't get me wrong. I'm what I'm referring to here is a split of world football.
Yeah, perhaps, makes sense.
I don't think it can happen because I think
global tournaments, how do you organise them and stuff?
What happens to 2026, for example? And we've seen, obviously, the Super League here in that, yeah, Real Madrid, Barca and Juventus can fuck off and make their own thing, but they can't play in the Champions League while they do think about doing that sort of thing. There are enough people really fucking pissed off within the European walls at the moment with what's going on at FIFA. A lot. And I just wonder if if they got Brazil and Argentina on side, what that means for the rest of international football.
Yeah.
You ain't having a World Cup about European teams and Brazil and Argentina. They would get more interest if they fucked off and did their own thing. I think they'd get more interest.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's see. Tomorrow there is a live stream. James will be streaming around 3 p.m. for you patrons. To be confirmed, so keep your eyes peeled.
When I say more interest, I just mean more interest than a competitive competition that didn't have those nations. That's all I mean.
Yeah. And main pod tomorrow, remind me. Oh, you've got Clash of Correspondents.
COTC, yeah. I spoke to Andy and Johnny this afternoon, so that'll be out for your lunchtime tomorrow.
Perfect. Other than that, patrons, thank you again for your questions. Stay safe, look after yourselves, and ciao for now.
No, Johnny doesn't know he's going to start centre-back for Man City. Cue music, please, man-child.
The Fantasy Football Show.